Now I understand why the Lord put such a short word on my heart this morning. Felt like I was in Alabama again. It takes us an hour just to say howdy. Amen. This morning I do feel from the Lord just to keep the message. I feel from the Lord to keep the message light this morning and to keep it simple this morning. So I believe this will be a short word, but it'll be a short word with great impact. I'm praying it will be impactful. I want to talk to you from the heart of the Lord. I want to talk to you about, Lord, teach me to serve with gratefulness. Lord, teach me to serve with gratefulness. I want you to go with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 37. We're just going to read some passages out of Genesis. Genesis chapter 37. I'm going to begin with verse 5. Verse 5 says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made worship to my sheaf. And his brothers said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it to his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made worship to me. And he told it to his father and to his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and my mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying." Go with me to chapter 39. Look with me at verse 4. It says, "And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him." And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him an overseer over his house and all that he put into his hand. Go with me to chapter 40. I'm going to read the first four verses. "And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served him." Lord, teach me to serve with gratefulness. Let's just take a moment to pray. Father, I just ask that this word that you've put in my heart, that, Lord, it would find its mark within us today, Lord. Father, we're going to talk about serving and serving with a grateful heart, God. And Father, I know we're in the Thanksgiving season, but as you were speaking this into my heart, Lord, I didn't even think about that. But Lord, I believe you did. And I believe you want to put something before our hearts today. Lord, find humble hearts today. God, your word is like water. Lord, it always seeks the lowest place. Give us those humble hearts, Lord, so that the word can go deep and you can do something in our life that only you can do. Father, we thank you just for your goodness to us. And we glorify you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe I shared with you some time ago how my wife and myself, we went to see a production in Lancaster called Joseph. It was a production set in a theater where you have just very anointed people. You can tell they're praying people. They take stories out of the Bible and they act them out, and it really is good. There's an anointing upon it. And I believe I shared with you how, as I was watching the production, the Lord just began to speak to my heart about the importance of character and integrity in our life. And you see that so well in the life of Joseph, that he was a man of character, and his character was put to the test. God tested his character every way a man's character could be tested, because God wanted to empower him with a storehouse. There was a storehouse that was so vast, it was actually going to impact the world. And in order to have this storehouse, you had to be a man of character. You had to be a man of integrity. And I believe I shared that with you. But the Lord not only spoke to me through this production, he also spoke to my wife something very powerful about the life of Joseph. And what the Lord spoke to her heart in this, while we were watching the production, what the Lord spoke to her heart was that in Egyptian captivity, God brought Joseph to the place where it wasn't about seeing his dream come to pass. It wasn't really about seeing his vision come to pass, but it was about learning to serve other people. That there was a season where Joseph came to this place where he began to understand, you know what, it's not so much about seeing my vision, my dream come to pass, but it's about learning to serve people wherever God puts me, whether ever it's in the prison or in the palace. That's what's important. You know, sometimes when God puts something in your heart, he puts a vision in your heart, or he puts, like Joseph, he puts a dream in your heart. He places something in your heart where you know it's God, and you know, Lord, there's something very specific you want to fulfill in my life. When God places that in your heart, sometimes we can get so caught up with the vision, or sometimes we can get so caught up with the dream, and we forget that wherever God plants us, whatever he wants to fulfill in our life, it's simply about living for the benefit of others. That's the definition of ministry. It's not so much about my dream. It's not so much about my vision. It's simply learning to love people and serve people wherever God places you. And, you know, when my wife began to share that with me, that really began to stir my heart. Because I feel like, I know there have been times I have shared with this church that some years ago God put something in my heart. He stamped the vision into my heart. He stamped something in my heart that I know is from the Lord, and is very specific, something that he wants to fulfill in my life, something very specific he wants to fulfill. And I haven't seen it come to pass yet. I haven't seen the Lord do it yet. But as her words, my wife's words, begin to stir in my heart, I really took it to prayer. And this is what the Lord spoke to me. He said, Tim, this is what I'm telling you. Let me fulfill the vision. You just learn to serve people wherever you're at. Your focus isn't the vision. Your focus isn't the dream. Your focus isn't the calling. Your focus is just learning to love people and serve others wherever you're at. That's your focus. And I want to ask you today, you know, has the Lord stamped the vision in your heart? Has he spoken a dream into your life? Has he placed something very specific in your life that he wants to do through your life? I feel what the Lord is speaking to us this morning is simply this. Let me fulfill the vision. You just need to focus on serving others. As I'm working behind the scenes to bring the past what I put in your heart, you don't focus on that. You simply, every day, you just love the people that are around you, and you learn to serve them. And I believe the Lord was speaking into my heart. The Lord was saying, Tim, the most important thing you need to learn is just how to serve others. That's the important thing. Amen. Now, look with me at Genesis chapter 39, verse 4 again. It says, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And when I was reading that scripture and just pondering that scripture, that word grace really jumped out at me. And I have to say, I became very thankful for that word grace there. You see, brothers and sisters, I know my heart. I can be a very selfish man. In fact, let me say it a little bit more bold. I am a selfish man. And serving others doesn't really come naturally to me. But the Lord spoke to me something that just really encouraged my heart. And that's simply this. Listen, you don't have to strive in your own strength to cultivate a servant's heart. It's going to be grace. It's going to be my grace in your life. As you just walk in relationship with me one day at a time, it will begin with grace and it will end with grace. Your part is just to walk in relationship with me. Guard against complacency. Apathy has no part of your life. You are, Revelation chapter 3, you are hot. You're not cold. You're not lukewarm. There's no place for apathy in your life, complacency. You are hot. I'm truly first place in your life. Your devotion to me is sincere. And as you just walk in relationship with me, my grace is going to begin the work and my grace is going to finish the work. And you're going to become everything that I want you to be. Now understand, whatever position, calling, or title the Lord gives us, at the heart of it all, He just wants a humble servant's heart. A heart that loves people and truly lives for the benefit of others. Notice in the Gospels, when we get to heaven, the Lord is not going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful pastor." He's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful missionary. Well done, thou good and faithful cook. Well done, thou good and faithful administrator. What He's going to say is, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In other words, when we get to heaven, whatever title we had is not going to be important. What's going to be important is the heart behind the title. And the Lord's looking for one thing, and that is a heart of a servant. That wherever I place you, it's how we loved and served people in the position that's important to the Lord. And what He's looking for is He's just looking for that lowly servant's heart. Now, there's something here that the Lord has really been dealing with in my life as far as a servant goes. And I think we need to understand it. Listen, what makes a servant is not the work that you do. It's really not the work that you do. You can be in full-time ministry and work 8 to 10 hours a day in full-time ministry and still not be a servant. No. What makes a servant is the attitude behind the work. It's the attitude behind the work. That's truly the dividing line between who really is a servant and who's not a servant. It's your attitude. Listen, beloved, have you ever been to a restaurant and for whatever reason, you just got a waiter or a waitress with a really stinky attitude? I mean, they're doing the work, but their attitude stunk. And something just rises up in your heart and it says, "Gee whiz, what is wrong with you? Why is your attitude so bad? You're just making my dining experience so unpleasant." Have you ever had that happen to you? I have. Listen, it's not the work that makes us a servant. It's the heart we serve with. I think God is looking at a lot of people in full-time ministry and He is saying, "Gee whiz, what is wrong with you? Your attitude stinks." It's your heart. It's your attitude that makes you a servant. Amen. I want you to go with me to John chapter 6. Go with me to John chapter 6. When you have John chapter 6, just look at me for a moment. I hope you don't mind me sharing this with you because I know it comes from the Lord. The Lord really spoke something into my life. recently the Lord spoke to me through a dream. And that's just one of the ways that he talks to me. I don't know why. It's just something the Lord has chosen to do in my life. And he spoke to me in a dream. And in this dream, there were two men on a sandy shore, and they were fishing. And they were fishing with a net. And in this dream, I saw them pulling in this net, drawing in this net. And this net was full of fish. And they were working hard. The sun was high. The sun was hot. Their arms were sheened with sweat. They had their feet buried in the hot sand, and they were just drawing in this net full of fish. And as I was watching them, I noticed that there was a large hole in the net. And as they were drawing in this net, the fish were getting away. They were escaping out of the hole. And I was watching these men work so hard, but the fish were getting away. And when the dream was over, the Lord spoke to my heart because I sensed it. He was trying to tell me something. And I went to prayer and, Lord, just what are you trying to speak into my life, my heart? And the Lord spoke so clearly and he said, Tim, you need to mend your net. You need to mend your net. Well, Lord, what do you mean I need to mend my net? And again, just praying and seeking the Lord. And it was in the Lord began to deal with my attitude. He began to deal with my attitude. And I have to be honest with you, this was only recent. He said, Tim, you fell into a hole where you have gotten so negative and you're constantly complaining. There's a continual complaining and murmuring that is in your heart. And you've been there to a point that now it's beginning to affect your ministry. You're not as impactful as you should be. You're not as fruitful as you should be. And Tim, I'm telling you, when I say you need to mend your net, I'm saying that you need to really begin to look at your attitude. Because it's beginning to have an impact upon your ministry. And beloved, I know that's the Lord. I know that's the Lord. The Lord began to remind me of so many things that I have to be grateful for. Beloved, I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed man. First of all, God has saved me. And my home is in heaven. I'm going to be there very soon. He's working in my life. He's conforming me to the image of Christ, glory to glory. He's given me a beautiful wife. He's given me two wonderful children. He's given me a job doing what I love to do, which is read this book and expound on it. That's my job. I do that for a living. I got hot water. I got food to eat, three meals a day. My children do not go hungry. If you look at them, you can tell they don't go hungry. Beloved, I'm a very blessed man. And I begin to pray, God, would you help me mend my net? Complaining and murmuring is so ingrained in this fallen nature. Would you empower me to mend my net? Look with me at John chapter 6. Look with me at verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Beloved, this is a familiar story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. 5,000 have followed Jesus into the wilderness, and they've been with him for a while, and now they need to eat. And verse 5 says that Jesus then looked at Philip, and he says, how can we feed all these people? Where can we get bread to feed all these people? And the Bible says that Jesus said this because he wanted to prove something in Philip's life. You see, what Jesus was asking Philip is this. In time of need, where do you look for your resources? Where do you turn your eyes when in need of provision? When you have a need that comes before you and you need provision to meet that need, where do you look? And I believe with all my heart, it's no coincidence that he asked Philip, because Philip's name in the Greek means one who loves horses. And in the Bible, horses always represents the strength of the flesh. The Bible says some men trust in horses, some men trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. So in essence, what he's asking Philip is this: when the arm of the flesh is powerless to meet the needs that come before you, where do you turn? Where do you go? And at this time, I'm sure Philip, he's in distress, and he's, because he sees this need before him, and he's beginning to realize, you know, I am absolutely powerless to meet this need. But then the Bible says that Jesus does something, and I really like what he does. Look with me at verse 10. After Jesus had received the few fish and loaves, verse 10 says, and he said, make the men sit down. And I want to emphasize that word, men. Make the men sit down. In other words, it's as if Jesus is saying, make the strength of the flesh sit down. The strength of the flesh in this situation is absolutely useless to me. It has no use to me whatsoever. So it needs to sit down. Strength of the flesh, sit down. And then the Bible says in Matthew's account that the Lord, he took the loaves and the fishes, and the first thing that he did is he looked up into heaven. And what he was simply conveying is this. He's saying, Philip, I have a storehouse. I know a storehouse that has absolutely no insufficiency. I know a storehouse that when the strength of the flesh is absolutely powerless to provide for the need, I know a storehouse, my Father's storehouse, that is empowered, and it has everything that you have need of to meet the needs. It's an empowered storehouse. And I really like this point. Beloved, listen to me. When you are walking in the will of God, when you're walking in the will of God, beloved, there is a storehouse available to each one of us. And whatever we have need of in the will of God, it will always be there. It will be there. Listen, when you need grace, you'll never lack grace in the will of God. When you need strength, when you need comfort, when you need wisdom, when you need provision, there will never be lack in God's storehouse. But I believe with all my heart, Jesus teaches us something in this chapter, how to access that storehouse. There is a key to the Lord's storehouse. Look with me at verse 11. It says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples. And I'm just studying this verse. Here's what God spoke to my heart. It says, and when he had given thanks, he took the few fishes and he gave to his disciples. What the Lord ministered to my heart is simply this. Tim, a grateful heart is the key to my Father's storehouse. When you walk before God with a grateful heart, you have an open heaven with God, and all the resources of heaven are at your disposal when you walk before God with a grateful heart. And the Lord spoke something else to me through this story, and that's simply this. Listen, when you walk before God with a grateful heart, you walk upon miracle working grounds. I believe with all my heart when a person is walking before God with a grateful heart, they just begin to create an atmosphere around them that's impregnated with miracles. Beloved, God, there's just something about having a grateful heart that causes the hand of God to move so powerfully. Listen, if we don't have great talent and abilities, if I'm not a great preacher, you're not a great singer, we just don't have great talents and abilities, I'm telling you, just a grateful heart will move the hand of God more powerfully than anything else. And I believe that with all my heart. A grateful heart. Amen. We need that storehouse in the call of God. And the secret to getting into that storehouse is a grateful heart. Now I want to put a challenge before you. I feel from the Lord to put a challenge before you. Look with me at Exodus chapter 33. Prior to this chapter, the Lord instructed Moses and the children of Israel to construct a tabernacle. And it was a portable tabernacle. You could tear it down and put it up. And whenever they traveled, they would tear it down. And then whenever they came to their camping spot, they would put it up again. Look with me at verse 7. It says, "And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out of the tabernacle of the congregation, went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp." So Exodus 33 verse 7 says that the children of Israel, that as they journeyed through the wilderness on their way to Canaan land, when they stopped, Moses would pitch the tabernacle without the Israeli camp. And beloved, we know what this tabernacle represents to us today. It represents the presence of the Lord, the presence of God. The tabernacle was the place where God's presence dwelt. Now notice with me in verse 7 that everyone that had a heart to seek God had to go out of the camp to the tabernacle to meet with God. And the question that came to my heart as I was just meditating upon this verse is, they had to leave the camp to go to the place to seek the Lord. When they had a heart to go seek the Lord, to go worship the Lord, the Bible says that they had to leave the camp to go to that presence, to go to that tabernacle. And the question that came to my heart is, well, what does that camp represent? What's that camp they had to separate from to seek after the presence of the Lord? And the answer the Lord put in my heart, I'm sure there's a few we can use, but the answer the Lord put in my heart is simply, it's the camp of murmuring and complaining. Do you understand that when you read the story, Exodus and Numbers, the children of Israel, they were always murmuring and complaining. They were never satisfied with God's provision. They were just a murmuring and complaining, ungrateful people. And beloved, the thing that I want to bring out is simply this. Listen, if we truly have a heart to seek after the Lord, if we're just hanging out with that crowd, if we're just part of that crowd, we're hanging out with that crowd, that there's just a rebelliousness in their nature, and they're constantly murmuring, complaining, they're murmuring and complaining against leadership, they're murmuring and complaining against the provision of God, they're murmuring and complaining against the will of God. Listen, if we are serious about having a heart to seek after the Lord, there will be a time we will have to leave that camp. You can't stay in that camp and move forward in God. But also, I want to say that sometimes the camp is our own heart. Sometimes in our own heart we can sit and brood in this sour complaining spirit. And beloved, by the grace of God, we need to recognize it when we have settled in that camp. And we need to ask God to really enlighten our eyes to see the blessings of the Lord. Just how blessed we are. And we need to ask God, Lord, would you empower me to get up and leave that camp? I don't want to live in that camp of the sour, discontented, rebellious. I don't want to live in that camp. My heart is sincere towards you. I want to move forward in the things of God. And so, Lord, would you just empower me in my own heart to get up and leave that camp? Beloved, there are times, you know, I've been here at Summit Mount Zion. I've been here almost 20 years. And there are times a discontentment will rise up in my heart. But whenever this happens, God will begin. He will have me, Tim, I want you to walk through the campus. And as you're walking through the campus, I want you to remember when you first got here. Who you was when you first got here. And I want you to begin to reflect over the years just how I have blessed your life. And I have blessed your life. And I have blessed your life. The things I've done in your heart. The places that I've moved you gradually in places of ministry. Tim, you are a blessed man. And there's a scripture, I believe it's in Isaiah, that talks about Abraham. And it's talking about when Abraham moved into the land of Canaan. It said Abraham moved in empty, entered the land empty. And he went out full. And beloved, I remember the day that I was a lot skinnier then, a 133-pound kid got off that bus and came onto these grounds for the first time. So excited about God, so excited about what God was going to do in my life. And I can begin to reflect on that moment up to this point. How God has blessed me, and how God has blessed me, and how God has blessed me. And like Abraham, I can say this. I came here empty. I came here with nothing. I came here in a suit that was too small for me. And a few belongings. And now if there was ever a point the Lord put it in my heart to move on. Tim, I just have a new place for you. I can honestly say I would leave here full. I came here empty. But I would leave here full because of the goodness of God. So the challenge this morning is this. This morning, if you have found yourself in this camp, to really begin to think about how good God has been to you. And to ask Him, Lord, would you empower me to get out of this camp? This camp that's in my own heart. Listen, if you're in a place, I'm just going to talk simply to you this morning. If you found yourself in this hole, that you're in a season where I'm just constantly negative and complaining all the time, would you ask the Lord, God, you've been too good to me. Lord, would you empower me, Lord, to leave this camp and to just begin to walk before you with a grateful heart, God. You have been good to me. Amen. This is what I want to end with this morning. Here's my ending. You know, I talked about how the Lord likes to speak to me through dreams. And, you know, that's biblical. The Bible says your old men shall dream dreams. So it doesn't mean I'm super spiritual or anything. It simply means I'm getting old. But the Lord speaks to me a lot about having a grateful heart. And I guess He knows I deal with this complaining issue. It's something I deal with. So He keeps me in check. I'm very grateful for that. But one time the Lord gave me a dream, and in this dream, I was standing in a field holding a moldy cookie. I was there all by myself. And I was looking at this moldy cookie, wondering what I should do with it. When a woman of God that I respect greatly in the Lord stepped up next to me, and I asked her, what should I do with this moldy cookie? And a light came into her eyes, and she said, begin to thank the Lord for it. I thought that was a weird request. Thank the Lord for my moldy cookie? Thank the Lord for it. So I said, okay. So I closed my eyes and I began to sing a song. And, you know, just a very simple song. I know it may sound funny, but get the point. It's something like this. Lord, I thank you for my moldy cookie. Lord, I give you praise. Lord, I give you praise. Lord, I thank you. Oh, I thank you for my Moti cookie. I give you praise. And suddenly my eyes is closed, but suddenly I hear a few other voices join in with me. Lord, I thank you for my Moti cookie. Lord, I thank you. Oh, I give you praise. And I'm singing this song and suddenly I hear more voices and more voices and more voices. So in the dream, I open my eyes and I'm no longer in a field by myself. I am surrounded by a multitude of people and they have their eyes closed and their hands up in the air and they're singing it with me. Lord, I thank you for my Moti cookie. And I'm sitting here amazed. I mean, in multitudes of people. And when I woke from the dream, this is what the Lord spoke to my heart. Tim, you have no idea how many lives a grateful heart can touch. You have no idea how many lives a grateful heart can impact. And if you will just walk before me with a grateful heart, your life will be those few fishes and loaves that I will bless, I will break, and I will feed countless people, simply because you have a grateful heart. Beloved, that's what I want. Very simple message, very simple truth, but that's what I want. When I serve the Lord, I want my life, I want my ministry to be a supernatural ministry. I want it to impact people. I want it to change people. And I'm telling you, when you walk before God with a heart that's grateful, you begin to create an atmosphere that's just impregnated with miracles. Amen. Stand with me this morning.